prepare our hearts. And you know, our Father God, He loves to lavish His love and His blessings and His word upon us as we just choose to say, Lord, I desire You. And that's where it all starts, where you say, Lord, it's not about me. It's all about You. That's where He'll come and fill you up as your heart is surrendered to Him. Why don't we go ahead and start off with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank You, Lord, for this time. We know Your holy presence abounds in this very place. And we ask You now, Lord, as our hearts are fully submitted to You, we know, Father, the devil can't stay around. Because as Your presence comes, there is a fullness of Your holy presence, a fullness of Your love that just takes hold of our hearts. So, Lord, I just pray that You will have Your way as Your word is spoken through me. I pray that Your words will truly come alive. Speak to the hearts of Your children so that they may receive of Your word and choose to do Your word and live fully unto Christ. We give this time into Your hands right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And everyone says, amen. Amen. Praise God. But if you take a look at your notes today, the title of my sermon is Hell Ain't Cool. Yeah, you heard right. Hell ain't cool. You know, I remember many years ago I watched an episode of The Simpsons, and I don't usually watch that show, I gotta tell you, but I remember watching this one episode, and in this episode, young Bart Simpson, he falls asleep and he has a very peculiar dream. You know, when he wakes up in the morning, he runs to his family and tells them, hey, I had the craziest dream. And he dreamt, basically. He went to his dad, Homer, right? Homer, I dreamt that I went to hell. And while I was there, I partied with some of the grungiest pirates and some of the most heavy metal rockers you could ever imagine. And some of them were violent and deranged criminals. And then he said to his father, you know what? It was the coolest dream ever. And the thing was, he said, Dad, they were burning up in flames. And kind of think about it, right? Bart Simpson said, this is the coolest dream ever. And you really think about it, isn't this what a lot of people in the world perceive hell to be? It's like a party animal kingdom with the wildest parties. And I talked to some people, they said, oh yeah, I think hell is going to be cool. I said, oh man, if you only read the scriptures, it tells us it ain't cool. Because, you know, you think about cool, right? We're going to talk about the very fact that, first of all, I'm going to tell you hell ain't cool. But really, talk about temperature, you know, hot, you know, and cold, right? It ain't cool. And the other thing is, you know, if you use it in the slang, right? Some people say, oh, he's so cool, right? He's so awesome. Hell ain't awesome either. But I want to tell you, just think about it. No wonder some people are okay with the very fact that they know they're living sinful and horrendous lives, yet, you know, they absolutely have no remorse about it, because, you know, I'm sure the devil is saying, yeah, my plan is working. I deceived this person into believing that hell is a great place to be. And, you know, if the devil can somehow trick you into believing that hell and evil is cool, he's got you right in the palm of your hands, or his hands, I'm sorry. He's got you right in the palms of his hands, because he's going to say, yeah, you should do more evil then. Because consider the man that just purchased the most expensive telephone number ever. Yes, you can purchase a telephone number in the country of Qatar. Guess what that phone number is? 666-6666. And you know what? He purchased it for 10 million Qatari rivals, or the equivalence of $2.750 million. Yes, $2,750,000 he purchased it because, hey, he thinks it's what? Probably cool. And you know, in the West, we consider 6 an imperfect number, but you know, I guess it's not the case in Qatar. But even worse, we know as Christians, right, we know that number 666 represents what? The number of the beast, right? And yet, it seems that some people, they're just drawn to these things when they know it's evil or wrong. You know, the devil, that somehow entice this person to believe, hey, it's good. Come and partake of it. So look what it says here with this question. What attitudes of the heart may a person have that may make them believe that hell is cool? Well, number one here, it says the attitudes of the party gets even better when I'm in hell. And it's my life and nobody can tell me what to do. Hey, even God can't tell me what to do. And you know, these are surefire combination attitudes that can surely secure a person's ticket to hell. If they continue to live life like that, say, hey, my life, don't tell me what to do. I'm okay. Going to hell. You know, two songs that come to mind when I kind of think about these statements. You know, one song is, you heard this song, it's my party and I'll cry if I want to, cry if I want to, right? Say, hey, it's my party. I want to do what I want to do and you can't tell me what to do. And the other song is, I don't care what you say anymore, this is my life. No, I don't want to sing it. But that's the thing, right? I mean, especially when I talk to the younger, you know, generation, you know, the young adult. Yeah, some of them it says, you know, my life. Hey, I'm old enough to make my own decisions. Don't tell me what to do. But I tell them, hey, you know what? Your parents care for you. I care for you. Hey, we love you too much. That's to say, you know what? You go ahead and do your own thing. No, we love you too much to let you go down on that path and don't say anything. And we got to realize that the devil can get all your focus on who? Yourself. He will tantalize your fleshly desires until you love all these things so much, you're even willing to sacrifice your own soul for these things. And I heard people tell me, yeah, if I can get all the riches of the world, I'm willing to sell my soul to the devil. Don't say that. You know, you probably heard of cable television's Ted Turner. You guys remember him? You know, he has condemned abortion folks as bozos. He called them, they're bozos who look like idiots. And you know, he also lashed out at Christianity just not too long ago. You know what he says? He says, Christianity is a religion of losers. He told the Dallas Morning News. And referring to Christ's death on the cross, Turner says, I don't want anybody to die for me. Yes, I had a few drinks, I had a few girlfriends, and if that's going to put me in hell, then so be it. That's what he says. You can see his mind, his soul is really lost. He doesn't want anything to do with God. And he also told a group of broadcasters, your delegates to the United Nations are not as important as the broadcasters in this room. We are the ones who determine what the people's attitudes are. It's in our hands. That's what he says. And it seems like, you know, Mr. Turner, you know, he's so full of himself. If the truth needs to be spoken, you know, he almost thinks of himself as some high and mighty ruler. And, you know, it seems like his primary goal is to max out in those worldly desires, not only upon himself, though. It seems like he wants everyone else around him to be maxed out with his worldly desires. And you know what? Remember, he owns his cable station. I mean, just imagine if he can influence others, even young ones, to say, you know what? Forget about God. Just put all your focus on yourself and of the world. But look what it says here in Matthew 16:26. It says here, Jesus says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but you lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? It should be that nothing, absolutely nothing, is worth more than your soul. Because you know what? The decision you make for Christ will determine where you will spend the rest of your eternity. Look what it says here in Luke 9:25. And it says, what do you benefit if you gain the whole world, but are yourself lost or destroyed? Can you imagine someone being lost? And destroyed. What we're talking is about our spiritual relationship with God. God wants us to be with Him forever, for eternity. But we got to make a decision. Are we going to choose God? Are we going to choose His Son, Jesus Christ? Are we going to live for Him? Well, number two here, it says, the attitude of I don't think God wants me in heaven. I've done too many evil things. I heard this statement said too often. Because I don't think God would ever want me. You don't know my past, Pastor. And you know, sometimes I would hear a person say, you know, I think even if I were to show up at the pearly gates of heaven, if somehow God allowed it for me, that I'd be standing right at the pearly gates of heaven. God would probably take one look at me and turn me away and say, hey, what are you doing here? Go away. I heard people tell me that. Now, why would you even think that? Knowing that our Father God says He loves all. And it's simply our part to say, Lord, I give you my heart. And sometimes I'll hear people say, you know, you don't understand, Pastor. I made so many enemies. And I've done so many bad things to so many people. And they all want me to burn in hell. They told me this, Pastor. So I guess I have no other choice. I gotta go to hell. And you know what? You may have heard a parent say to a child, hey, just because someone says it, it doesn't have to be so. And you know, I've got to tell you, you know, one day Vice President Calvin Coolidge, right, he was presiding over the Senate, and one senator angrily told another one, another senator, hey, you go straight to hell. And you know, the offended senator complained to Vice President Coolidge because he was the presiding officer. And you know, Calvin Coolidge, he was looking at this book, he was kind of leaping through it while he was listening to the debate. And he says to the senator, you know, I've been looking through the rule book, and you know what? It says you don't have to go to hell, that is. And actually, you know what? God doesn't want you to go either. He wants you to be forever with Him. Look what it says here in Matthew 18, 13, 14. It says, and if He finds it, truly I tell you, He is happier about that one sheep than about the 99 that did not wander off. It says, in the same way, your Father in heaven is not willing that any of these little ones should perish. He doesn't want anyone to perish. He wants everyone to come to know Him as loving Father God. Look what it says there in 2 Peter 3:9. It says, the Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is what? Patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. And this is the key, right? Repentance. We must come to a point where we repent and say, Lord, I've sinned. Lord, I blew it. Lord, help me to make it right. That's what God wants from us. He wants us to come with the heart of repentance. And if you do, know that God will welcome you. He will say, you belong to me. But we have to make that choice and say, Lord, I give all of me unto you. Look at number three here. It says the attitude of God will not send anyone to hell if He is all about love, as the Bible says. And I hear a lot of this too, right? You know, non-Christians often ask the question, but how can the God of love allow any of His creatures to suffer unending misery? Has anyone ever asked you that? If your God is the God of love, how can He actually send someone to hell? Well, first of all, I'm going to clear it up there. God does not send anyone to hell. It's because of the fact we decide to reject Him. Remember what the scripture says. He says He doesn't want anyone to perish. It's a decision we make. We got no one to blame but ourselves. And the question should really be, how can He not? The fact that God is love makes hell necessary. Really? Because think about this. This is what E.L. Mascow, he's a pastor, he once said, hell is not compatible with God's love. It is a direct consequence of it. So it's not compatible. It means hell and God's love does not go together. But you know what? It's a direct consequence. Why? Because we choose. We decide. God given us this choice. We must make. And that's His way of stressing the fact that the very God who loves us is the one who what? Respect our decisions. Just imagine if God were to program into our mind as soon as we're born that we're already gonna, you know, put in our minds that hey, we love God. and I love God fully. You know, just programmed. Not coming out as a feeling, not coming out as so much emotion. It's just something He put in your head. You know what? God respects us too much to do something like that. That's why He says, I give you a choice. Yes, He loves us, but He does not force His love on us. I want you to understand that. You know, to force love is to commit assault. Well, this is one Christian author that tried to explain it. Just think about it like this. Like a jealous boyfriend, right? Who tells the girlfriend that don't love him anymore, you have to love me. You don't love me. Right? Just imagine, what if God did, would God do that to us? You gotta love me, Ray. No, that would be assault. And we know God doesn't do that. He will show Himself in ways that will touch our heart. And we're going to make a decision because we're going to know God is real. We're going to read His word and realize this word is truth. Amen?
Amen?
And as you realize that, you say, Lord, I want to belong to You. Because He allows us to decide. He loves us. He encourages our response. He woos us. He pursues us. He urges us. He does not force us because He respects us. I want you to understand that. He respects us that way. You know, Pastor John Hanna, he was quoted in saying, no one who is ever in hell will be able to say to God, you put me here. And no one who is in heaven will ever be able to say, I put myself here. Think about that for a second. One that, it says here, no one who is ever in hell will be able to say to God, you put me here. You know why you can't say that? You're already in hell? Because you know what? The Bible tells us, if you're in hell, you're forever separated from God. That's what the Bible, I'm just telling you what the Bible says. And then it says, no one who is in heaven will ever be able to say, I put myself there. You know why? This is what I really believe. I mean, I would love for this to happen. As soon as I take my last breath on this planet Earth, the Bible says, my spirit will be with Christ. I want to fall in the arms of my Lord and Savior as I meet Him. I want to fall right into His arms and I'll realize, hey, I didn't get myself here. It's because of the love of Christ that I'm forever in eternity with my Father God. We're going to realize it is because of Him that we're going to have eternal life with God. Isn't that great?
Yes.
And you know, this is what C.S. Lewis, a really well-known Christian author, wrote. He says, the safest road to hell is the gradual one. The gentle slope, the soft underfoot, without sudden turnings, without milestones or warnings, without any signposts. So we got to realize the devil, you know, he's going to make it like it's real subtle. He's going to say, oh, it's okay. You know, he's going to bring forth things in your life where, you know, you're not going to get overwhelmed. You know, but he's going to say, oh, this is good. You know, it's like a soft underfoot. He's not going to make it so difficult. He's going to say, hey, this is good. You must partake because, hey, everyone else is doing it. And we got to realize that's how the devil operates. He uses subtlety a lot. He makes you think that, hey, this thing is good for you. But in reality, it's out to destroy you. And we got to listen to the Holy Spirit of God because He will speak to you. He will say, turn away. Don't go there. The devil is out to destroy you. And we got to listen. We got to run. You know the Holy Spirit is giving us a warning. Amen? So here's a question. Who is then responsible for all this confusion about evil and hell? Well, first of all, I'm going to tell you definitely not God. And look at the verse above it. I'm going to read Romans 8:39. It says, no power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God revealed in Christ Jesus. Just knowing this, it says nothing can ever separate us from the love of God because He loved us so much. But you had to make a decision for His Son, Jesus Christ. You had to believe in Him. You had to know for a fact that He did what He did for you and for me. Then you know that your love is secure with God. He will do whatever it takes to keep you online, in track, and where He wants you to be. His love will never leave you. Well, now let's look at James 1, 13, 14. It says here, and remember, when you are being tempted, do not say, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. And we realize, you know, sometimes people say, but it's God. God was the one who tempted me. God is the one who put all these trials and all these bad things in my life. No, God does not. You're blaming the wrong person. You're blaming the wrong one. It's the devil that has a lot to do with the fact that he wants to torment you. He wants you to get you off track so that you get back into the things of the world so that you will be drawn away from God. Don't listen to these lies, because that's what the devil does. And we know he's good at that, isn't he? But let's look at number one here. It says the devil. And we know, yeah, he is the one for all this confusion about evil and hell in this world. Look what it says here in John 8, 42 to 44. It says, Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I have come here from God. I have not come on my own. God sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. Look what Jesus says. He says, you belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desires. He was a murderer from the very beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. So we know Satan is what? The father of lies. There's no greater liar than Satan. And he is very crafty when it concerns using deception to try to trick you into believing that God's way is not the best way. That, hey, the world's way is even better. And we are not to listen to that lie. Look what it says here in Luke 8, 12. It says, the seeds that fell on the footpath represent those who hear the message only to have the devil come and take it away from their hearts and prevent them from believing and being saved. And we know, a lot of times, I can tell you, when I share our faith about our Lord Jesus Christ, you know what I do? I always pray for that person first. Because I know the devil, whatever truth we may have spoken into that person's life, the devil is right there trying to just snatch it. He says, no, don't listen to that. No, that's not real. No, that's not true. And I just pray, as in the name of Jesus Christ, I pray, Father, whatever is spoken of your word, that person will know it's the truth, and that your truth will sink deeply into their hearts, and they will come to know you as Lord and Savior. Because you know what? That's what the devil would love to do, just to continue to deceive to the point where, you know what? No one wants to live for God. And you know, the devil, he wants to make you believe that life is all about worldly fun and games, and that being a Christian is boring. Man, it's too difficult to live as a Christian. These are the lies that the devil put in a person's head. And a lot of times, I hear this, you know, especially the younger generation. You know, I hear it a lot. It says, oh, it's boring, Pastor. I'm not going to have any fun anymore. I'm not going to do things that I love to do with my friends. You know, my friends, they don't believe in God, and they have so much fun. I said, man, if you only knew. The very fact, man, that I know God with all my heart, with all my soul. I love him. And I tell you, he's got me on this ride. I don't want to ever get off. I'm having the time of my life. Because I just know I'm constantly filled with his joy, with his presence, with his love. And man, that beats anything but the world can offer. Amen?
Amen.
That's where we got to tell him, hey, I'm going to try it out. You're going to love it. Because you're doing the ways of God, God will bless you. And he will continually bless you because he knows that you're doing what is right in his eyes. And you know, the devil, he'll also try to make you believe that the word of God is not for you. You ever heard someone say that? You know, I know one friend, he always tells me, you know what? He will say to me, you know, Christian faith is all relative. You ever heard someone say that? He said, it will relate to you, but it doesn't relate to me. In other words, yeah, it's for you, it's for some other people, but for me, not for me. And you know, the reality of it all is that we know we all need God. It doesn't matter who you are. We all need God. You know what it says here in the scripture? Look at this. I love the scripture. And this is the one, I tell you, I was looking for a scripture, and John Lee, she found this scripture, and praise God. Look what it says in Isaiah 45, 21 to 23. It says here, "For there is no other God but me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me." Look what God says. "Let all," everyone say all "the world look to me for salvation. For I am God, and there is no other. I have sworn by my own name, I have spoken the truth, and I will never go back on my word. Every knee will bend to me, and every tongue will declare allegiance to me." And it tells us the only way you can be saved is through our Father God. It tells us, "Let all the world look to me for salvation," because He is the only one and true God. There is no other. You know, you may try to think you can go to another religion and find salvation, or you think about, "Oh, I can go to heaven based upon what I know about this other guy." No, it ain't gonna work. It's only through His Son, Jesus Christ, that you are saved. Amen? If you were to go strictly according to what the Word of God says, this is what it says. There's no other way except through His Son, Jesus Christ. Amen?
Amen.
Well, number two here, it says our own selves. And look what it says here in James 1:14. It says, "Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions. And when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death." So fill in that blank, our own selves. And you know what it really comes down to is the fact that we sometimes do what we know is wrong, right? We know you're not supposed to do it, but, you know, because of the fact, we've been enticed. And, you know, we're enticed by who? The devil, right? But the thing is, sometimes it has to do with the very fact we're enjoying the sin too much. Let's be honest. Sometimes we slip, sometimes we fall, and we find ourselves in a situation where we're doing something that we did in the past that we might have enjoyed, you know, way long ago. But now, we're doing it again. And you know, we can blame the devil. "The devil made me do it." Remember Flip Wilson in the 1970s, the comedian? "The devil made me do it." No, you gotta understand, sometimes it's our fleshly desire that says, "I want it. I really like it, actually." And we gotta say, no. Because you know, the devil, he's gonna say, "Yeah, you really like it. I can give you some more." We got to say, no, this is not what I'm called to do. This is not what the Lord wants me to do. I reject it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. You got to speak it with authority and tell the devil. You put him in the proper place, which is under your feet. Because the peace of God will come in as you say, "Lord, I'm doing it your way. And no other way but your way alone." And you know what? Sometimes, I got to tell you, we can be deceived into believing that the sinful act is what God wants for us. I hear people say, "But Pastor, I think God wants me to drink and be merry. And I think the more I drink, the more merry I'll become." And man, you've been deceived, you've been duped. Yeah, that's the lie from the devil. Because he knows if you just take one, you make it two, you make it three, and it'll be a six-pack, and then who knows afterwards, right? But don't fall into that trap. Because the devil is going to subtly try to draw you in. And when you have bitten, he's going to go for that full-blown snare. And we got to say, from the very beginning, "No, devil, I ain't having any part of that." Amen? You know, there was an issue in Christianity Today, which talked about this New York Times bestseller book. And it was really popular in the 1970s. And the name of the book was called Embraced by the Light. It was written by this woman. Her name was Betty Eady. And this book was 5 weeks as number one on the best-selling list. And, you know, in November 1973, this is what happened. You know, Betty Eady allegedly died from a hysterectomy. She says she died on the surgery table, you know, while she was undergoing surgery for hysterectomy. And This is the thing. She said she returned 5 hours later with the secrets of heaven as revealed by Jesus Christ himself. This is what she says. And you know, according to Christianity Today, they say that the problem with the book is that the idea of hell and judgment are nowhere to be found in the book. And it made it seem that God would never address a person's sin. It made it sound like it's all good. You know, we want to hear, you know, something all positive, all good, but sometimes we need to hear the truth. And sometimes the truth, hey, will make us a little uncomfortable. But Edie says that Jesus never wanted to do or say anything that would offend her while she visited heaven. And, you know, the magazine Christianity Today says, you know, says, indeed, Jesus seemed to be assigned the role of a happy tour guide in heaven, not the savior of the world who died on the cross. Is that what you want Jesus to be? Just a happy tour guide? Just showing you, oh, this is that. No. Jesus will sometimes speak truth into your life and say, you must deal with it. He's not always going to say, oh, happy, 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 joy, joy, happy, joy, happy, joy, joy. No. Sometimes Jesus says, you know, this is sin. Deal with it. Ask my Father for help. And he will give you strength. You will overcome because that's what you were designed to do. You're an overcomer by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And as you go with that, you know the devil, he's not going to stick around because he's about to be crushed. And you know, there are times as believers, we got to tell it like it is. There's no holding back because we can't always be afraid that we're going to be offending someone. Because I have to tell you, some people, they say, oh, I don't want to say the whole truth because I don't want to hurt their feelings. Well, yeah, we don't want to hurt people's feelings, but we can't go through life not speaking the truth because we're afraid of that person. You know, a story is recounted about a time when C.S. Lewis, he went to hear a young pastor preach a salvation message. And, you know, the young pastor, concluded in his sermon that those who do not place their faith in Jesus as Savior will find themselves in danger of grace eschatological consequences. Who knows what that means? You know, C.S. Lewis later inquired of the pastor if he meant to say that basically people are in danger of going to hell. And you know, when the pastor affirmed, yeah, that's my intent. That's what it was all about. You know what C.S. Lewis says? He replied, so why didn't you just say so then? And you know, here's the thing. I want you to understand, there's sometimes we want to, you know, make it sound so impressive, right? We use all these fancy words, but people don't understand what you're talking about. And it's sometimes the very fact that we're just saying things in a way we know they don't understand because, you know what, you don't want to offend them. So we're going to use fancy language, so they're going to just take it kind of like lightly, right? But sometimes you got to be bold, amen? You got to speak the truth for what it is. And you know what? The Holy Spirit will do the rest. Because the gospel message is serious business, isn't it? And you got to be careful not to cover its truth with vague explanations. You got to ask yourself, you know, when I was a non-believer, would I have understood what I'm saying to this person right now? You know, the propitiation of sins. They're going to go, well, what is that? Right? We gotta say in the ways, oh, because Jesus died for you, he loved you. Use simple language, but speak in a way that you know it's in love. And you got to be direct, amen? Don't be afraid. You go to the Holy Spirit. You ask him, Lord, what shall I say in a way that this person will understand, that will grasp the truth. Look what it says here in 2 Timothy 4, 2-3. It says here, Paul says to Timothy, preach the word of God. Be prepared whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, and encourage your people with good teaching. For a time is coming when people will no longer listen to sound and wholesome teaching. Think this time is now? You know, people only want to listen to what their itching ears want to hear. That's what the Bible says. You know, they want to say things that only make them feel good. But the problem with that is, when they only feel good, there's no change. And sometimes we got to hear the truth for what it is. You know, Charles Haddon Spurgeon puts it this way. When you speak of heaven, your face should light up like this. Heaven! It's so good. And he says, when you speak of hell, well, then your everyday face will do. Yeah. Because you know what? You got to show people that truly heaven is real. And if you're going to go, oh yeah, heaven is a great place, and you know, someday we'll be there. And no, get excited. Let your face light up. Let your spirit just soar when you tell people about the good news of Jesus Christ. And you know, here's the thing. The truth of the matter is that there are many things we don't know about hell. But you know, Jesus and the writers of the New Testament use every image in their power to tell us that certainly hell is real, it is terrible, and it is something to be feared of and something to avoid. And in his description of the last judgment, Jesus taught that some would go to eternal punishment, right? Jesus said that himself, that some would go to eternal punishment and some to eternal life. Look what it says here in Matthew 25:45-46. And it says here, and he will answer, I tell you the truth. When you refuse to help the least of these of my brothers and sisters, you are refusing to help me. And they will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous will go where? To eternal life with Father God. In other words, hell will be as real and as lasting as heaven. And we got to realize, as we know, a lot of times people say, yeah, I know, I'm going to be in eternity, right? When I die. Well, remember, you got to also add, where? Eternity in heaven or in hell. And that's where that scripture clearly tells us, you know, we have to make a choice now. If you want to be secure in your heart, you know that you're going to be forever with God. Because the horror of hell is not physical pain. Because, you know, we hear about that, right? It says the gnashing of teeth and all that, you know, in the scriptures. You know, that's where you're going to, you know, a person will experience that in hell. But, you know, the Bible tells us, did you know this? Hell was prepared for the devil and his angels. Did you know that? That's the very reason why hell came to be. Look what it says here in Matthew 25:41-42. It says, then the king will turn to those on the left and say, away with you, you cursed ones, into the eternal fire prepared for who? The devil and his demons. For I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was thirsty and you didn't give me a drink. And we got to remember, these demon spirits, are they physical beings? No, they're not. And so, you gotta think about this, because, you know, rather, when Jesus talks about the fire and the outer darkness and the hunger and thirst, you know what it's really depicting? It's depicting the spiritual separation from God that basically, you and I, we can't overturn it. There's gonna come a point when we take our last breath, this is it. Did you make a decision for Christ or not? Because, you know, it will be a point where it's too late. You can't do anything about it. And I just got to tell you, it's because what the scripture says. Look what it says here in Hebrews 9:27-28. It says, and just as each person is destined to die how many times? Once, okay? I know some religions, they believe in reincarnation. No, the Bible clearly tells us you just die once, and after that comes judgment. So also Christ was offered once for all time as a sacrifice to take away the sins of many people. He will come again, not to deal with our sins, but to bring salvation to all who are eagerly waiting for him. So in other words, if you put your faith in Christ, you're waiting for him. Your soul is yearning for Christ. He will come back for you. He'll bring salvation to you. Amen. He wants you to be saved. He wants you to be forever with his Father God. That's the truth. This is what the Bible tells us. And you just have to think about this. This one Christian author I was reading, you know, in his book, it was saying that hell is disintegration. And this is what he describes it as the eternal loss of being a real person. In other words, he says, it's all about the torment. He says, in hell, the mathematician who lived for his science can no longer add 2 + 2. And he says, the concert pianist who worshiped himself through his art can't play a simple scale anymore. And he says, the athlete who nearly perfected his skill in the sport of basketball had no use of a basketball or hoop in hell because they don't exist. Remember, hell is about torment. And it says, the beauty pageant queen who has spent her entire life creating her own sense of beauty in the eyes of men will never have access to a mirror in hell. And you know what his final conclusion was? He says, hell is eternal desire, eternally unfulfilled. And you know, it sounds really grim, doesn't it? It's a real grim picture, but you know what? That's what hell is. It's grim. And we got to realize it. We got to take it seriously. And we got to tell people the very fact that God wants to be with them forever. But we got to make that choice for him. We got to say, Lord, I lay my life down for you. But you know, there's another side. There's this pastor. His name is G.K. Chesterton. And this is what he remarked. He says, just listen to this. He says, hell is God's great compliment to the reality of human freedom and the dignity of human personality. Wait, compliment? He says, hell is God's great compliment to the reality of human freedom. Well, what does he mean? Hell a compliment? Well, this is what God is saying to us. Hey, you are significant. I take you seriously. I want you to be with me. That's what our Father God says. But if you choose to reject me, choose hell, if you will. And God's, can you just imagine God's heart breaking when he says, I just have to let you go. God says, I don't want you to go. Child, you must choose me. He respects us so much, he's given us a choice. Amen? And we got to choose the ways of God because he loves us, doesn't he? He loves us more than we shall ever know. Well, I'd like to conclude by telling you about this true life illustration as told by Pastor Tommy Nelson. I know some of you have heard it because it was in our Bible study group on Wednesday. And, you know, some years ago, a huge humpback whale was found beached and dead on a beach shore somewhere in the East Coast. And it probably weighed like several thousand pounds. And it's huge, you know, this humpback whale. And you know, officials of the town weren't sure what to do with a massive carcass lying on their beach ground. So someone suggested to blow it up with dynamite. And he says, we're going to put the dynamite right under, and then we're going to blow it up, and it'll be hurled right back into the ocean. Someone said, that'd be so cool. And the officials kind of thought about it, said, well, we don't know what else to do, so we'll go and try. So what they did, they stuck 1,000 pounds of dynamite under the well, right? And they were ready to blow it to smithereens. And you know, hundreds of people from the town, right? They go, oh, this is going to be something, going to be the coolest thing you're going to ever witness. So everyone gathered, families gathered for picnics and, you know, brought their hibachi or whatever. They said, oh, wow, this is going to be such a great event. It's like a huge party, you know? Everyone, most of the people in the town are there to witness this thing. And, you know, when the officials, they pressed the detonator, it went kaboom! And the people, they went wild, and they cheered, and they clapped, and the whale just completely disappeared. You know, just like David Copperfield. You ever seen David Copperfield make a bus disappear on TV? Just like that. It was there, it's gone. And you know, what had happened was a pinkish cloud had formed over, you know, where that dead carcass once lay. It was like hundreds of feet up in the air. And you know what it was? Actually a mist of whale blood. And you know, a guy was holding a video camera. He videotaped all of this and he posted the event on the YouTube. Don't worry, I'm not going to show it to you. So. But you can see him in the video. He's saying, wow, this is so cool. The whale is blown up. And you know, like several seconds later, you hear the sound. You guys ever played Space Invaders? And he goes, you hear the sound. And you hear the guy with the video camera. Now he's saying, oh my God,
Run for your lives!
And you see parents and grandparents grabbing their children and running for safety, running for their lives. Because you gotta understand, what goes up, what? Must come down. And you know what? First of all, blood from the well started coming down and drenching the people with blood from the well. You know, like that movie Carrie, you guys remember that? Of course, gruesome. You know? And then came sizzling 200-pound chunks of whale meat and guts that came crashing to the ground. Boom! 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 And by the grace of God, though, I gotta tell you, no one was hurt. But you know what? They said, a 200-chunk of whale meat actually fell on the car. And it crushed it. It flattened in the car. But praise God, no one else. Nobody was hurt. You kind of think about this. Isn't it kind of just like human beings? You know, sometimes I hear from people, oh, I just want to party and have a good time. You know, I'm young. I got to do things I enjoy. You know, I just want to party it up, Pastor. And sometimes I hear, yeah, I want to live life so filled with so much fun. I want to go out with a loud bang. Oh, man, the world has deceived you. The devil got you where he wants you to be. And you know, some people, they think that it's so cool and so awesome. But when, guess what? Judgment and calamity comes. So they will look at it and go, man, it's no longer cool. Right? And we got to realize the hell, it's not all fun and games. We know what the Bible is. The Bible doesn't say too much about hell. I want you to understand this. But it does tell us it's a place you don't want to be. It's a place of torment. And we don't want any part of it. And look what it says here in 2 Peter 2:6. It says, later, God condemned the cities of what? Sodom and Gomorrah. Remember what happened with Sodom and Gomorrah? It rained down fireballs. God destroyed that city and says, and turned them into heaps of ashes. He made them an example of what will happen to what? Ungodly people. For those who just reject God. For those who don't want anything to do with God. And you read that scripture and go, wow, this is just like the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. He turned them to heaps of ashes. And we got to realize it's not a pretty picture, is it? But we know we don't have to worry about that because we made a decision for Jesus Christ. We know what we're going to experience is all good. It's going to be beyond beautiful when we're going to be standing in the presence of our Lord God and King. Amen? And this last verse, I want you to look at this. In Jeremiah 17, 9 to 10. It says, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately, what? Wicked. Remember, this is God talking now. And it says, who really knows how bad it is? But God says, but I, the Lord, search all hearts and examine secret motives. I give all people their due rewards according to what their actions deserve. We have to realize, God says, I want to give you a reward. And I got to tell you, the greatest reward we will ever receive is the very fact that we know we're going to have eternal life with our Father God. That we know that God wants us to be lavish with His love. God doesn't want to stop blessing you. Even throughout eternity, God says, I want to continually let my blessings flow upon you. Because you know what? You deserve it. But if we choose to reject God, guess what? Guess what we're going to receive? We're not going to receive His blessings. We're not going to receive His goodness. And we got to realize, people have to understand, yes, we will have eternity with God because we chose Christ. But if you don't choose Christ, you're going to be eternally separated from God. To really bring out this point, I want you to watch this video. Benson, can you go ahead and play that video, please?
Every day we're faced with choices. Every day we have to decide.
we have to decide what's going to fill our day, what things we're going to give our attention to. And sometimes the things we choose seem harmless enough and are all right for us at first, but still just a little off, not as satisfying as we thought they'd be. But we're not quite sure, so we try more and more, until pretty soon we're consuming ourselves trying to make this harmless at first choice fill a place that it will never fill, that it was never meant to fill, that it can't fill. And all the while, the answer to our need, to us being fully satisfied, is right in front of us. We just need to choose to take it and drink.
Wow. I want you to understand, this is how it is. You know what he was drinking, right? The first one? That was sand, by the way. And you ever try to drink sand? Impossible, right? I want you to understand this. The devil, he will never force you to do something. You know, making you saying, you gotta take it. No. He's gonna tell you, hey, take this, it's good for you. Hey, the whole world is doing it. Hey, it's all good. And, you know, look at the guy, he's like trying to force it down. It's never meant to be taken down. But the devil, he's so crafty, he's so good at telling lies, he's gonna say, no, this is good. This is for you. God just made this just for you. You must partake of it. You got to recognize this is a lie of the devil. Whatever it may be, some sort of drug, or whatever it is of the world that the devil is trying to mask, trying to disguise, saying, no, it's good. Come on. Don't be such a party pooper. Come on. We got to say, devil, no. I see what you're trying to do, devil. I see your scheme. You're trying to bring me down. I'm not going to do it because I belong to God. I'm property of Jesus Christ, and I will be forever in eternity, my Lord God. And you got to tell the devil, hey, hell ain't cool. It's the worst thing you can ever imagine. I don't want any part of it. It's uncool. It's hot. And I don't want any part of it. Amen. Stand firm, brothers and sisters, in the faith. God will reward you. He will bless you. He will see to it that you're going to be more than just taken care of. You're going to be lavished with His love. Amen? We want to go ahead and bow our hearts. Let's come before our Lord God in King. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for this message. And truly, we understand that, hey, hell ain't cool. But Father, hey, you're the coolest, Father. And Father, we're so glad that we belong to you. As your children, we just want to do things your way. Whatever the world has said and done to deceive us, whatever the devil has tried to deceive us, Lord, in believing that your ways are not cool. Father, we reject that. And we say, Father, we hold on to your truths. We hold on to what your word tells us, that you want your very best in our lives. Father, we hold on to you with our whole hearts. And we say, Lord, our lives don't belong to us anymore. It belongs to you. We trust our lives unto you, Lord. And we pray you will have your way. Because, Father, we know your ways will always bring forth your very best in our lives. That's where we're going to experience the miracles of heaven upon our lives. We're going to experience the power of God being displayed in our very own lives. Simply because we chose to do it your way. Now with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've been a Christian for some time, and I tell people that I'm a follower of Christ. Yet I kind of see now from this message, I realize I really haven't been living a life that's really true unto God. I know the devil, he's been having his way. When a little pressure comes, I'll go the way of the world, or I'll do what the devil wants me to do. But I don't want to do it anymore. I want to be true to my Father God. I want to live a life that is holy and pure unto Him. Yes, I will make mistakes, but my heart, I know, is surrendered to God. That as I truly confess and repent, He will forgive me. He will renew me. He will restore me. And I want my Father God just to come in right now and just take a hold of my heart. That you will download his strength upon me, knowing that when situations arise, when I know temptations will come, I will stand strong in my faith. I will not let the devil have his way in my mind and in my heart. And if this is you, you know the Holy Spirit is just tugging at your heart right now. And you say, Lord, I want to live a life that is true. With all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, can you just raise your hand right now so that I can pray for you? Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you. All right, you can put your hands down. Let's pray. Oh, Father in heaven, you've seen all the hands that were raised. In the name of Jesus Christ, we just pray that your holy presence will just fill this entire room right now. Let your holy warrior angel just come and fill this place with your holy presence. Let your ministering angels come and minister your love, your peace, and your joy right now, Father, as only you can do. Father, for those that have raised your hand, I just pray, Lord, that you will just let your Holy Spirit's anointing just come upon them right now in Jesus' name. Let them know that you will never leave them. You will never forsake them. That as they have chosen to live a life that is true to you, I pray, Lord, that they will experience your strength this very day. They're going to see the blessings flow this very day right into their lives. They're going to see the miracles that will come forth as they completely put their faith and trust in you. And we know, Father, you said you will do these things because you show to us this is how you reward your children when we choose to live a life that is holy unto you. I praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do in my brothers and sisters' life, what you're going to do in my life, as we come with hearts fully surrendered to you. We praise you, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Now for some of you, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I've heard people talking about having a relationship with God, with His Son, Jesus Christ. Well, what must I do? How do I get started in something like this? Well, you can start off by praying a simple prayer. But remember, it's just not the prayer itself that will get you saved. It's the very fact you pray this prayer and you mean it from your heart. That as you pray, you're going to say, I'm going to do it. I'm going to make some changes in my life. And I'm going to live for Christ. And you know, the Bible says, you know, the Holy Spirit is tugging at your heart right now. He's telling you, come. Come and join the family of God. Do not resist, brothers and sisters, because He wants you to be part of the family of God. But the only way, you must confess that Jesus Christ is your Lord. And the Bible tells us, if you deny the Father, He will deny you. But if you receive Him today, He will welcome you into His family. And you're going to start seeing some major changes in your life. And it's going to be all good. And if you are ready, you're willing, you want to say yes to Jesus Christ, can you raise your hand right now and say yes? I say yes to Jesus with my whole heart. I say yes to Jesus with all of me. Oh, praise God. Say yes to Jesus. The most eternal decision you have ever made. Praise God. Anyone else? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You put your hands down. Oh, praise God. Why don't you pray this prayer out loud? Pray with me. We want to pray together as a family. It's professing about what we believe about our Lord God and King. Just repeat after me and mean it from your heart. Say, Father God,
I need you.
And I give you praise for who you are.
I believe in you.
I believe in your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for me on the cross. But on the third day, He rose again. And He lives in my heart. I give you praise for that. And Father God, I confess that I'm a sinner. But your word says, if I confess of my sins, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Cleanse me now, Lord. Make me holy and pure unto you. So now I say this, so you can hear me, Father God. So that everyone can hear me, so that I can hear myself. And so that the devil can hear me. Jesus Christ is my Lord. I live for Him, and I live for Him only. Father God, write my name in your book of life, for I give you praise. In Jesus' name I pray. And everyone says,
amen.
Amen. Let's all stand. Let's give glory unto God.
Bring